have to go away, Farrell, because I may have to call you back up here. So, the dynamic of this, some of you may not know the references for all of this or what really happens in the spiritual realm, but how many of you know there is a spiritual realm? How many of you know we're fighting against principalities and powers and wickedness and rulers and high places and wickedness and... Okay. That's scripture. Ephesians 6. Okay. That's what's happening. All right. So when God moves us into that place where we are well aware of Satan and what he's been trying to do, how many of you are well aware of Satan and what he's trying to do? So, but we have been given the victory, and there's ways we walk in that victory. Amen? And so the people who won in the Bible, they had a hold of this secret, and they utilized the tools that they had been given. And so in Psalms 149, how many of you know Psalms 149 is an important psalm? Because it says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, praise him in the assembly of the saints. That means that what we just did is just in obedience to God. Look at somebody and say, this is not weird. This is necessary. Okay. So let God's children triumph and be joyful in their king. That's how this started. Pharaoh was joyful. Then let them praise his name in chorus and choir, or with the single or group dance, which we did that. Let them sing praises to him with the tambourine and lyre. Thank God we don't have a tambourine here, but we could use it if there was. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the humble with what? Salvation, with sozo, with wholeness, with healing, with victory, with completeness. And he will adorn the wretched. He will adorn the wretched with our victory. Oh yeah, just cast your crowns at Satan and go, ha ha, you stupid thing. Okay, let the saints be joyful in the glory and beauty which God conferred upon them. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Now, here's what usually happens, is you've got a few people that finally made it through their tiredness, their weariness, their whatever's going on in their life, and you know, they finally start singing a little bit louder, they start engaging a little bit more. Once in a while, somebody will come up and they'll, okay, but this is how you win. Say, well, I don't know why I win at church, and then I go home, and then everything's the same. Well, because you're the same at home. So you go home, and you sit down, then you start thinking about your problems, then you start thinking about your circumstances, then you start looking at the mountain. You ain't speaking to the mountain no more. You go, that mountain is so big, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. This mountain is hard. This mountain is big. This mountain's been here before. I think I talked to it before, and it didn't listen to me. So I don't know if I'm going to say anything to it anymore. I don't think I'm going to win. I don't know if I can win. Oh, my God. And that's why you got to come into the place of assembly, and you got to get somebody get shook up so they can get shook out, so they can get you wound up, so you can wind up and defeat the enemy. Amen? And so then he says, it's very simple. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. What is he talking about? Oh, I don't know. Shut up! Stop! Maybe that. Okay. That'll work. To wreak vengeance upon the nations and chastisement upon the people. So the ones that need to be bound up are going to be bound up, and the ones that need to be free are going to be free. To bind their kings, the king of our enemy, the ones that are sitting in a throne that they don't belong in, the ones that have named themselves king over our king, no, we're going to bind them with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron to execute God's judgment written against them, because he, the Lord, is the honor of all of his saints. Then he says, Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the abundance of his goodness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with the tambourine, single or group. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Praise him loud with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the privilege, and we took advantage of the privilege today because God stirred up the atmosphere. You know, this was not pre-planned, but God had pre-planned it because he goes before us and he prepares the way. And I listen, everybody comes in here tired. You know, it's Sunday. You wake up more tired on Sunday than you do any other day of the week because that is what the enemy has planned. And you have to work through that tiredness, and you have to decide you're going to praise the Lord. Okay, and so what happened is there began to be an atmospheric change, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. When, if one can put 1,000 to flight, then two could put 10,000 to flight. But how does that happen? It happens in unity. In unity, therein lies the blessing. The spirit, the oil flows down from the beard of Aaron upon those who dwell in unity. So how do you get in unity? Well, I can tell you one thing. It ain't by trying to get you to get in unity. It ain't by sitting down and finding out what you agree on. Because I could interview all you, and you're going to find things that you don't agree on, because that's what we tend to do. But when you get in agreement with a shout, when you get in agreement with the victory, when you get in agreement that the enemy is defeated, when you get in agreement that our God is bigger than any situation, then you've got something to shout about, and it defeats the enemy on every side. So then Satan goes into derision. I just wish we could open up the windows of heaven and see what he's doing. He is freaking out, and he's got all of his little minions. They don't know what to do. They have just lost their commander. They don't know what they're doing anymore because we just pulled the rug out from underneath them. Look! So now, the victory that we feel in our hearts and the joy that we feel is real. It's a spiritual reality because we don't walk by the flesh, but we walk by the Spirit. And those that walk by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. So look at somebody and say, hi, daughter. Or hi, son. Yeah. Yeah. Of the Most High God. So he is the Most High God. If he is the Most High God, is there anything higher than him? No. Because he is the Most High God. So what happens then is that when you guys, several of you came up and spoke what you were calling out for the defeat against the enemy, all of us were in agreement of it. And then he loses his power. And God gains power. You know why? Because we empower God by agreeing with his word. Is it crazy that God allows us to empower him? But he does. We can bless the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise be in my mouth. That's how we bless the Lord. So as we bless the Lord, he gets stirred up. And he is Lord Sabaoth. He is mighty against our enemies. He is mighty against our enemies. He is mighty against our enemies. Yeah. And so, you know, I really like those verses that talk about, you know, fire coming out of his nostrils and, you know, lightning coming from heaven and, yeah, fire in his eyes. And I love it. You know why? Because that's truth. That's truth. So we can't see everything that's going on in the heavenlies, but, you know, faithful, our God is faithful. I'm going to use this one sentence in my sermon that took me love it how that goes. Okay. Okay, because I was looking yesterday. I woke up and the Lord told me, how are people, I go, I'm talking about faith, God, what's the next thing that's going to help them? And he said, how can they walk out their faith if they don't understand how faithful I am? So what did we do today? I thought I'm going to give you why we're going to put our faith in God, because he's so faithful, and I'll do that. But this is why, because he's already defeated the enemy. Okay, so he says this, Psalm 36:5, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Do you know what that is? That's where the celestial bodies revolve. Like if we could see into the celestial realm, we would see them running around. And that is, his love reaches up there too. You can't get away from his love. And your faithfulness to the skies. The skies are like the clouds and above the clouds. So I was in my backyard. I like to be in the backyard when I'm writing my sermon, if I possibly can. I was so grateful he didn't let it rain on me yesterday. And so I'm imagining, I'm looking at the sky and I'm going, well, this is true, Lord. So let me peer as high as I can peer and as deep as I can peer into the sky and beyond the clouds. And then I'm going to think about, this is how big you are and how far you reach. And this is what your faithfulness looks like. And it's into infinity. And then we talked about the double rainbows. And then here's what you need to do. Sit a spell. Ponder that. Look into the sky and try to see his faithfulness until you believe it. You know, you can have as much of God's faithfulness as you believe him for, as much as you know him. And so God knows what we're made of. He's not trying to stronghouse us. He's just trying to get us to understand how big he is and how faithful he is, because if we fall in love with him, we will understand his faithfulness. And then you know what happens when you understand his faithfulness? Fear has to go. Fear can't reign in your life anymore. He's faithful to his promises. And so he remembers his covenant. Okay, I'm not going to do this. What am I going to do? They just like keep going. Well, faith sounds like, it sounds like raising our voice. Faith looks like we're all coming together as one. Faith responds. Faith acts like something. Faith acts like getting mad at the devil and meaning it. Faith is declaring the enemy's defeat. Faith is believing in your heart and speaking it out of your mouth. Faith is speaking to that mountain. Faith is being like Caleb saying, give me my mountain and I don't care how old I am and you're not going to steal from me anymore. I wanted to put, you know, if I had magic, you know, things that I could do with my typewriter and print things out while I'm sitting there, I would have put a whole list of things on that chair. Like disease and sickness that's defeated, like relationships that look defeated except for they're not, like every part of your life that looks like there's no answer for it, just put it on the chair and then kick it over again. So when you go home and you're in your house, you have to act like this too. Yeah, why is it different when I'm home? Well, because you can't go home to the molly grubs. What in the world? Where did they get that expression? The molly grubs. I have to look that one up. I don't know. That's old school, my mom and dad. It must mean go home to the old way of doing things where there's no ability to walk in victory. You walk in your revelation of your victory. You walk in your revelation of your victory. So I can't win the victory for you. you can win the victory for yourself when you put God's word in your heart, when you shout his praises, and you come in together as one. You leave. Now, don't you feel better coming in here? Are you going to feel better going out than when you came in? Now we can't lose it. Now we can't lose it. I've told you before, but I'll tell you again, because we did have a tambourine in our house. And so Tirsa was sick. You remember this. And so she's laying in bed, and she's like, Mom, I'm sick. Pray for me. And I go, and then she thinks she's going to lay there in bed. And I was so mad. I'm like, what did you have?
Fever.
She had a fever. No, you were laying there for a reason, because you were under attack. It wasn't because she was pretending. And so I said, hold up. And I got mad at the enemy, because I got mad at him picking on my kid. You know, I don't even want them to have a hangnail, as I tell you. I wanted her to be well. And so I went and I got my tambourine, because I understand what the Bible said. And so I went in and I clapped the tambourine over her head and all around the bed. And I sang like a crazy woman. And the fever broke and she got out of that bed. And whatever, was that on a Sunday morning or just a day? Sunday morning. Yeah, bright and early. And what happened? Yep. And we came to church, where every good person belongs on Sunday morning. Because we need one another, and we need the synergy of the ages to come in amongst us. And he is faithful to do so when we lift up his name. Amen. And so, faithful, our faithful God is always available. It's whether or not we believe him at his word. Amen. Did you find that thing you were looking for, Ingrid? All right, come up here and do that. Then, Pharaoh, you'll give whatever, the announcements, and then we'll eat pizza. Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Good morning. So I walked in extremely tired. I was in Tallahassee testifying to save 9,000 children. And I got energized in the praise. But at the beginning of the year, Pastor Don prophesied that God's name would be made great in the media. And I just want to read an article that was published after we testified. So pastors and leaders and Christians from all over Florida, 67 counties, we went and we testified to save these children. Yes, so when we actually show up in person, it is the most powerful way to represent the kingdom. Because one citizen is counted as representing 5,000 citizens. So that's why I go. And I just want to read the article as a testimony to what God is doing in this season. I'm quoting the reporter. This is from CBS 47 and Fox 30 News. And it says, in what at times appeared more like a tent revival than an agency rule hearing. So this was an administrative hearing that we went to testify to save these children. And the reporter said, in what at times appeared more like a tent revival than an agency ruling hearing, state health officials on Friday received public input on a proposal, to help save these children. So that is what God is doing.
Let it be so, let it be shouted all over the world that the revival is now. Amen? And the media is going to keep reporting it, because it's in our heart and it's in our mouth, and it's going to be in their mouth, and they're going to confirm what God is doing. Okay, Pharaoh. Let's see what you do this time.
Round two. Well, have you been to church this morning? Have you encountered God? Well, that is the point, isn't it? If we walk out of here and you have only encountered me or Pastor Don, you missed it. So let's receive our tithes and offering this morning. Let's do that. All right, so for our tithes and offerings this morning, I was thinking of the time when Jesus was speaking to a multitude of people.